Gray and I'm an addict. They call me Charles G, but I ain't that anonymous, right? And it's good to be here. My cause anonymous saved my life. And I know it's God's grace I'm here today clean. A little nervous, but that's okay. And the topic was something that I was hesitant on, right? But when he asked me, I felt like I had a conscience, right? You understand what I'm saying? I was going through a little remorse and guilt and trying to do something different. And the choices were gain the conscience, staying clean to gain the conscience, and another topic that I really couldn't touch, you know what I'm saying? So when he asked me to do this, I said, okay. And then afterwards, I said, why'd I do that? You know, and I felt the joy, right, of being asked to do something like this, because I've been clean since December 7, 1990, and I've been coming to conventions on and off ever since then. And people would say, if you want, we had an offer, you know what I'm saying, to do what we do. If you want, we got, then do what we do. And I felt like I've been doing what y'all been doing since I've been here. So to be asked to share in front of all y'all people at this convention, right, it was an honor. Then I had to go back to the topic. And I said, well, what is a conscience? So I had to look it up. And since I've been, my sponsor said, get a dictionary and find out what these words mean. First of all, you don't know nothing about no principles, right? That's obvious by the way you do things, right? So I did that, and I've been carrying it with me almost every day, reminding myself of what a conscience is, right? And I got it in my pocket, and I'm hesitant to pull it out and read it, right? But I like all of us to be on the same page, you see what I'm saying? And what it talk about is the sense of or consciousness of the moral goodness or blameworthiness of one's own conduct, intentions, or character, together with a feeling of obligation to do right or be good. And ever since I've been here, doing right ain't been the thing that I learned how to do best. And that's what I'm saying, was trying to change. And what I found out the most was I couldn't change myself. But then I had to look at the bigger picture, and the change has been taking place a day at a time, in the sense that when I came in here, I blamed everybody for where I was at. I had been introduced to this program, to this fellowship, you know, and I said, not me. I ain't never shot no dope. All I need is a car and all this stuff, and I'll be all right. Y'all don't know what y'all talking about. You got the wrong man, right? And I went back to using. Eventually, I picked up. And once I started, I couldn't stop. And at the end, my mother had me by my leg in her driveway, begging me not to go. And I said, Mom, I got to go. And when I hit that bottom right there, y'all, that was enough for me to surrender. And I came back to this fellowship, and some people that was here when I came gave me a hug and told me it was going to be all right. And I was still in the blaming business. I said, my daughter's mother didn't do what she did, and her mother. I was in the killing mode, for real. You know what I mean? I wanted to get rid of some people because they is my problem. You know, and I hadn't gotten in touch with the real problem that I had. And that was I couldn't stay clean. No matter what I tried, I got baptized. Matter of fact, December 7, 1988, 2 years before my clean date. You know what I'm saying? I tried religion. I tried psychiatry. I tried all that. But I couldn't stay clean. And what y'all did was y'all made me aware of that fact. And Charles, everything you tried didn't work. But this is working for us. So why don't you keep coming here? And we'll help you with your problem, because that ain't your problem. You know what I'm saying? So I went on and listened to y'all and followed some of the simple directions y'all gave me. Don't use, go to meetings, pray, and try to help somebody, right? And along the way, things have gotten better. You know, one of the things I keyed in on today was, it'll get even better. My life will get even better. And that's where the conscience came in. If I change my attention sometimes, right, and if I change my behavior, if I change my conduct is what it said, right, things will get better. And the reason why I say that, because I share with my sponsor, and I talk about some of those feelings and some of the actions that I do, and he makes me aware that talking about how you feel is okay, but when you gonna stop talking? See, you got to do something if you want to feel different. And doing something different in some areas, my life ain't easy. Now, I don't cheat on my taxes and I don't steal and all that kind of stuff. But other behaviors I do. I try relationships, but mostly I have affairs. You know what I'm saying? I tried something different. I got married, but things like that. But the core of the person is still there that's been changing. I remember a guy named Al told me, keep doing what you're doing and you'll gain a conscience. You know what I'm saying? Now, what I found out about me and the conscience is I'll block stuff out. If I don't want to feel, I will shut down. If I don't want to change, I say it's all right. You know, and I'm not in denial about having, I'm not in denial. I just say it's all right with me. You know what I'm saying? If it ain't all right with you, then it's not all right with you, but it's all right with me. You know, the steps play a key role in gaining the conscience. And one of the things it has done for me, it removed the shame and guilt I came in here with. You know, I tell my story a lot, and there's some things I wasn't too proud about, right? But I heard other people's story, and I said, well, it wasn't that bad. You know what I'm saying? But for me, stealing my mother's wedding ring was real bad. You know what I'm saying? The hurt that I put on my family was real. I couldn't get over that, and I would continue to use. But since coming here and staying here, I've been able to get rid of that shame and guilt and remorse, right? And build a relationship with my moms and all them. You know, my whole family was in support of me when I was using. They loved me till I couldn't, till they couldn't stab me no more, right? And then they turned me over to y'all people. And then by dealing with y'all, right, I'm able to deal with them now, right? And so our relationship got better. So that wasn't the problem. The problem area is that when I first got here with using, right, when I stopped using, those areas cleared up. I don't know if that was a miracle or what, but my relationship with my family, you know, got tight again. But it's relationship with others that I'm still learning how to get better with, right? And what I'm saying is the awareness of who I am doesn't change what I do. You know, as I go through the steps, I understand that my will don't work. My will don't get the results that this program designed to give, right? But I got to stay willing. I got to stay willing. You know, and it's funny because the willingness to change comes about by staying here. And I didn't know that, right? Giving some time, right, staying clean, gives me the opportunity to do something different a day at a time. Now, that might sound like, okay, well, why is it such a problem with you to do the next right thing? That's what I focus on, trying to do the next right thing. Now, the other thing about a conscience with me is I came in here, I got clean, I couldn't change, I couldn't do things different, right? And what I would do was beat myself up. I find myself in the positions again. Now, for me, it's always finance romance. I don't know about nobody else. But I get in that position where I can't get no more money. You know what I'm saying? I'm in a couple of relationships with everybody want me to make a decision and stuff like that. And I start feeling remorseful. I start feeling low self-esteem. I start blaming, well, if it wasn't for this, it wasn't for that. And my sponsor keep telling me, you keep doing the same things, you'll keep getting the same results. Why don't you try the steps? How long are you going to run from the steps? And I can't stand when you say things like that because I like to believe that I come in here every day and I try to practice this program in my life, but at the end it's saying all my affairs, right? So I got to keep in mind that it's all your affairs. It's not some of them, Charles. Half measures ain't going to get it. So when am I going to start running from the program and give myself to this simple program so it'll work in all areas of my life? And the reason why I say that is because I see things and I see people that got what I want. And I still want what they got. Well, they say, if you want what we got, then do what we do. I got examples in my life of, like I said, I've been married and all that kind of stuff, right? My grandparents were married for 60 years. My sponsor and his wife were married. My sponsee just got reunited with his son's mother after 8 years. And I'd be wanting what they have. But I ain't been able to do what they do. Surrender. to all those things. I heard it was a meeting here about deep rooted issues, right? And I said, dang, I need to be in that meeting. Because I can get honest and tell you what the issues are, but I can't get past the issues because I guess I haven't aligned that relationship with a higher power that would take me past. Bottom line. You know, when I came in here, I didn't believe in God. I didn't have religion. I did none of that stuff. Didn't matter to me, right? But since I've been here, I found something that works, but I don't use it all the time. Selective choices when I use it. And I don't want to make it sound like I don't do nothing. You know what I'm saying? I don't think I'd be here if I didn't do anything. But those, when I have problems with things, they stay on my conscience more or less, right? And that's the way that I saw conscience. I didn't see conscience as blaming others and all that kind of stuff for my conduct or anything like that. I seen it as an awareness of what I do and a lot of that. But I guess I kind of had made light of what a conscience was, right? You know, and when he asked me, it was only a few months ago that he asked me, that's where I was at. And that's where I've been at for quite some time. And it's amazing how, since I've been here, whatever I'm going through, this program addresses it, more or less, right? Whether it's through people or through the literature, you know what I'm saying, going to meetings, listening to other people share, somehow it addresses whatever, I guess you would say, what I'm being directed toward, right? And I don't know about y'all, but I'm not going to say I'm rebellious, but I bucked at all the steps. I ain't want to do none of them. You know, I wanted to do them when they came, and it hasn't been like that for me. You stay clean, you get to the point where you got to do something different. You know, and so I've been addressing this conscious thing because I don't really know if I had one as much as I had one today, if that makes sense to everybody else. I believe a lot of it has to do with staying clean and being around here and hearing people say, I don't do the things I used to do in my first year. And I say, well, I do. hear people talk. I see people grow. See people grow in their life, right? You know, I'm in a position where I could buy a home. No problem. But I won't do it. I don't want the responsibility. You know, so I watch other people prosper in that area. And I'll be like, I'm all right right here in this apartment. You know what I'm saying? And then something will go off in my head and say, but you paying this rent and you ain't getting none of it. Income tax come and y'all get that $5,000 and stuff like that. And I say, why not me? Because you don't want to do nothing different, y'all. You know, now I ain't going to sit up here and beat myself up for having a conscience. I can't change that fact that I had one today. You know, but this program and y'all people keep things up front with me. I was thinking about something before I came in here. And one of it was about a year ago. It's members in here that are older than I. I'm 37. I'll be 37 in May. And it's a few other members in here that are older than me. And they would talk to me like I was a child. Are you being good? Are you staying out of trouble? You know, and I at first it was cool. Because when I got here, I was 24 and I stayed in trouble. You get tired of being in trouble after a while, right? So now that I'm turning 37, and you say that to me, it started wearing on me. I started carrying it with me. And staying out of trouble is not the type of person that I'm. I like trouble sometimes. You know, I like to stir the pot up a little bit, right? Not too much. Not no more than I can handle. You know what I'm saying? But every now and then, I like to stir things up and get things going, right? In my life, and that's on my job, in relationships, you know, you name it, I get in a meeting, you know what I'm saying, let some controversy kick off, and let my opinion come out, and not Narcotics Anonymous, right? another thing I tried to do with this topic was look it up in the book, and I got lazy, I'm telling you, I didn't see it, I looked some more, I didn't see it, and I said, well, somebody else going to have to help me with this, right? But when I first got here, that's one of the things, and since I've been here, don't get me wrong, the same things I did when I first got here, I do today, and it keeps me clean, right? And it helps me grow, but I couldn't find where it just jumped out at me at, you know what I'm saying? So I had to do some work, and I didn't feel like doing it. So I read this and I read that step and I read this step and I read this story, and I was all right with it. You know, I think the two go hand in hand, staying clean to gain the conscience, right? And what it has done for me is allowed me to be responsible for my own actions, basically. You know, and that's something about me I don't particularly like, because I don't know about y'all, but what I found out is, how does saying go, honesty is the best policy. And the rewards in honesty, I found out for me, are not so much materialistically or even personally. You know, on my job, whenever I get in a situation, I find out about me is I'll be honest and say, yeah, I did it. Now, I might get overboard with it and try to be right about it too, right? Yeah, I did it, so what kind of thing. But I'll fess up to it. You know, we drive vehicles and stuff like that. If I have an accident, I'll say, yeah, I did. I did the thing, whatever. And it's no reward in that. You understand what I'm trying to say? I had to deal with the consequences of that, right? And I ain't been able to change that about me. You know, when I get personal with people, you know, and I had to really, really talk. See, I could talk about me on the surface level. But when I got to get gut honest with somebody and get to the exact nature, right, there's not necessarily a reward with that. It's just facing up to my own character, right? And one of the things I found out was I could be a character around here, or I can gain some character by my behavior. You know, when I start looking at what I want to be like, my idols and role models, right, I'm not like them. I'm striving to be like them, but I'm not like them. So I had to learn how to accept me for who I am today. You know, and not an excuse. You know, I told my sponsor, I said, yeah, I did this and that, right? And I said, I fell short. He said, you ain't fall short. Don't make no excuses for you doing the things you do. You know, so I've been working real hard at facing up to who I am, right? I think that's a step in the right direction. You know, putting Charles down on paper and taking a look at it. And what I also have done is I've been adopting prayer in my life a little more today than I used to, right? But now I talk to God every day, basically. You know, and I don't ask for permission not to do this and that, but I do talk to him. And that goes back to a few years back in my recovery when I wasn't feeling too good about who I was, right? And what I started doing was asking God to take all of me. It's a seven-step prayer, the good and the bad, right? And I started feeling better about who I am. So today, what I do is I talk to God and I kind of let him know what's going on with me. And not so much, and I got to be somewhere at 12 o'clock and I got to do this, but how I feel, right? And the results haven't come in yet, right? He had to tell me, he said, okay, it's over with. You fine. You can go on your merry way. But I like to believe I'm going in the right direction, right? You know, one of the things that I thought about when he asked me to do this meeting was this particular convention I normally wouldn't come to, you know, and the reason why is because it's from my area, you know, this area right here, and it's close to people to get to, and my behavior, my conduct in those areas, how would you say, ain't no secret who I am, you know what I'm saying? So I said, well, I'll go to the one in North Carolina, right? I'll go to the one in California, Chicago. I've been to those conventions, right? And I'll go to the one in Baltimore, but this one, everybody come to this one, right? So when he asked me to do this workshop, I was a little hesitant. And it's always afterwards, right, when I start thinking, hold on, wait a minute. People from D.C. going to be there, and they know me. I can't do it. I ain't going to get to embarrass myself up there, right? Start lying or whatever. You know, I ain't going to do that, right? So I said, what better place to do that? You know what I'm saying? Free yourself a little bit anyway, Charles. You know what I'm saying? And then I said, he set me up. Because we got a history, right? When I first met this guy, he was a big guy, and I felt intimidated by him. And he moved into our house, and he wanted to change some things. and things was fine just the way they were for me, which meant I could get away and do whatever I wanted to do. And we got in a heated argument. And I went to my room and I said, okay, if he come in here, I had something for him. I had me a hammer and a knife by the bed. And I wasn't going to have it, right? And it was only fear. I'm not a killer. I ain't no psycho. It was just fear. So when he asked me, and afterwards I started thinking about my conduct and all that, I said, he set me up. You know what I'm saying? But I know he's genuine. He do love me. And that's come over time. You know, also, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to go ahead and be quiet, right? When they talked about blameworthiness, right, what I've also learned since I've been here is that I don't have to take on other people's. I don't have to take the blame for other people. And sometimes I don't even have to say nothing. You already know what you did, so, you know, that kind of thing. But I used to take on other people's problems, more or less, right, when they had anything to do with me. And I take the blame. Okay, it was my fault. I did it. But what I realized today is it's not all me. At first, it was all me. You know, it kept the focus on me. Charles, you talk about you. You can talk 15 minutes about everybody else. You can't talk 5 minutes about yourself. So at first, it was all me. And now, today, it's not all me. But the only part that's really important is mine. You know, what part did I play in this, right? You know, but since I've been here, I've been able to establish some real good relationships with people that know me, you know what I'm saying, the whole me, the real me, and they've been helping me with that. And I like to call them, and it was funny, before I really got to this topic, I used to call them my conscience, because they have morals and principles and all that kind of stuff, and that's where I would go to with my problems in those areas, right? And they would give me what I needed, not what I wanted. They haven't sanctioned anything yet, you know, so I like to think I got the right people in my corner for this particular topic, right? But like the man told me, keep doing what you're doing, Charles. Keep doing what you're doing. You'll gain the conscience. You know, and since I've been here, that's what's been happening, right? But the blessing is, my life has gotten better since I came to this program. I haven't found it necessary to use. Don't think about using. It's not even in the program. This program is about staying clean, and I've stayed clean successfully a day at a time, right? So what I'm trying to do myself is continue doing what I've been doing, you know. Whether the conscience come in and make me do something different, so far it has in many areas of my life, and some areas I'm still growing in. And I try to focus on the positive of what's happening since I've been here. You know, I was riding up here, and the two people that I was going to bring with me, they couldn't come. Since I had an obligation, I said, well, I got to go now. I ain't need trying to get nobody else. But I realized, and I called the guy, he's a sponsor, he just moved to New Jersey, and I called him up, and I said, remember when we came up here and all that, you know, I started going through the feelings of what happened since I've been here. You know, one of my best friends lost their baby here, and now they're about to have another baby. You know what I'm saying? I met my wife out in the hallway out there, right? And now, you know, went through the stores and stuff. Now we cool, you know what I'm saying? And I said, man, you don't really have too much to do with this, really. A lot of times, all you got to do is show up, right? And I started thinking about how I was driving up here, and I couldn't even get off the block at the end. You know, really, I couldn't get out the alley and the gutter. At the end, the guy picked me up off the curb in front of my parents' house. You know what I'm saying? Today, you know, it ain't like that today. So anyway, if anybody is new here and don't really understand what this convention is all about, right, keep coming back. You know, I've seen a lot of spiritual things happen at conventions, right? And newcomers, you know, I'm going to share this, I'm going to shut up. I swear I said this, shut up. I asked the guy about this today, matter of fact. I said, why it seemed like more people had more friends than I do, and a lot of that kind of thing. And he said, because you're not a sociable person. He said, you're friendly to women and newcomers. You know what I'm saying? And I said, why you say that right about me? He said, because it's true. You know what I'm saying? I said, okay. And I understood what he meant. And since I've been here, right, since I've been here and after I done got some time, the newcomers are real important to me, you know. So a lot of times I got to try to keep the two separate, you know what I'm saying? A newcomer and male and female, if you understand what I'm saying, right? And they told me men stick with the men and women stick with the women, all that good stuff. And that kind of works for me when I'm dealing with newcomers, right? But if you're new here, keep coming back, because this is the best thing that's happened to me. And the reason why I say that, because before I got here, I couldn't put 2 months clean. You know what I'm saying? At the end, I couldn't put 2 days clean, 2 hours clean. If I thought about using, I was gone. So to be up here and to be clean for this amount of time, and really it's just a day, you know what I'm saying? I keep that up front. Staying clean got to come first. I guess that's why I didn't say gain the conscience and staying clean. Stay clean first and you gain the conscience. I don't know. But I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to Sam, and I'd like to thank y'all for being here.
And for our next speaker, this is not a delusion meeting. I want y'all to know, for the people that know him, Jerry Johnson.
Thank you, Sam. Recovering addict named Jerry. Real good to be here. Kind of tired, so bear with me. And want to thank Charles for giving you his experience. I just want to ask this question because I was sitting there, and what I try to do daily for me to get me out the way is I kind of like stay in prayer, and that's as a result of going through not just emotional but spiritual dilemmas. And what I'm going to talk about is my experience, because I do know that's how I stay blessed. I learned how to not get up here and continue to delude me. And I want to thank God, first of all, for the opportunity. And I want to back up off this mic before I get this sounding good to me and believe everything that I'm saying. If you know God and done something in your life today, give yourself a round of applause and then you can move on. The topic is staying clean and gaining a conscience. Reflecting back, not in the grip of the addiction or disease, meaning using, I want to talk about being caught up in the process of the first 5 years of staying clean. And in that process, because I'm the type of addict, when I got here, I thought I knew everything. And what one must know, and this message is just not only for the new member, because there's some older members present that still disturbed and ain't even accepted it yet. What I'm talking about, y'all, is me. What's real important is to get a sponsor. Real, real important. And sometimes we make bad choices. I believe I still do it today, and I've been here a while. But what I find out is I stand firm on my belief system in faith. And what that kind of allows me is to accept staying clean is not enough. The reason I'm sharing my experience is simply as a result of hitting some emotional bottoms as a result of being spiritual disconnected. See, we are used one another in here also. See, because once you experience the freedom of not using, then that grip of that addiction cries out for something in the area of relief. Now I'm getting ready to talk about Jerry. I thank God for the good and the bad. I thank God for all my experiences. But I'm the kind of person that forgets that I'm an addict. Because I ain't used in some years. But what I know is that I'm still obsessive and compulsive in a whole lot of areas of my life. Still today. And what I know about me and when I use, let me do it this way. That I used to love narcotics. The key is when I use, I became psychotic and impaired up here. So my problem has always been what I thought about me as a result of finding that I had issues like Charles talked about, but I can talk about mine. A sense of inadequacies. Fear. The prominent one that I fell in love with is low self-esteem because I'm excellent with masking up. But over the first 5 years in here, what I didn't know due to my addiction is I have always attracted what I was. Y'all listening? Y'all hear me, right? I have always attracted just what I was. Now, what I'm talking about is unmasking just a little. Because basically we don't talk about that because we ain't accepting it. See, a part of this vicious cycle is the addicted relationship that I was so prone to. So it wasn't hard for me, women, to kind of like look at you or catch your eye looking at me and convince myself you the one. Well, there's one thing you just put me in touch with. I'm glad you can relate. Because in all of our experiences, we are never, ever alone. Somewhere in coming in here, I begin to feel better with me as a result of leaving our college alone. But I felt something was still missing. Here's my experiences in using money, woman, then narcotic. And when I use narcotic, it go like this. Money, narcotic, woman. Now guess what I'm prone to tell a woman? I'm prone to tell a woman first and foremost, you know that I love you. Come on in. But I deny my disease because I love it more. And what I find out is I can't just use narcotics and get the full benefit if I don't have a woman. I'm talking about feeling so inadequate and lonely on my inside that I always need more than one or something. And what this disease do, it tell you that one is too many and a thousand is never enough. So I end up in a meeting and I sing the one. You know, when you go to a lot of meetings, you begin to watch people and people begin to watch you. So this particular meeting, I had been spotted them. I know I was looking for something all the time. And what happened was, this particular meeting, the eye contact was greater than the thought. And I made my approach. I'm kind of like sitting it up here. Just follow me. I made my approach. What's amazing is when you make the approach and they like it. And we did a little swapping of the number thing. And you know I'm an intellectual. I learned how to do this out there. So the bottom line, it ain't hard to become convincing in here. It really ain't hard to become convincing in here. That's why, as a result of suffering, see, the message gonna come. As a result of suffering, you will gain a conscience. But I want to talk about having the conscience and still know that I'm doing wrong and do wrong anyhow. See, staying clean is just not enough. And I'm going to use me because he done moved to break it down to the man or woman that might be sitting here still denying the truth about the addiction. Drugs no longer have a play in this one. We talking about lacking the inability to accept you just the way you are. So what we kind of do, we kind of like draw like leeches and feed on one another for a sense of feel good. Now remember, I'm talking about me, but you involved too. I ain't seen nobody get up and leave, so you involved too. This is what happened. Met the young lady in here, and I lied to myself. I had been here 5 years. I go to step meetings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What I need to tell you is I hadn't done no work. Did y'all hear that? I hadn't done no work. See, you can sit in a step meeting and pick up other people's experiences through the information and run around like you done the work. That's why God revealed to me the truth about me so I can help you to get in touch with you. And I need to say, due to low self-esteem and the thing called the self-centered fear, the sense of inadequacies, the abandonment issues that I never ever learned how to talk about, that every time I get into the relationship with the woman, I go in not trusting her before the beginning because my mama left me. You follow me? So the trick to this thing is when the woman begin to lie and I begin to believe, that's where the delude piece come in. See, because emotionally I don't have balance and I'm out of control already, I just don't show it. But if you sit me up like I'm the one, if you sit me up like I'm the one and I begin to become caught up with you emotionally, you is in trouble and don't even know it, because I'm in trouble. So I'm talking about, here it is, my addiction got me all over again in the grip. And I ain't used nothing. Alright? Now, as a result, I got to use this piece. This woman, in my thinking, was the one when I first spotted her. Now, if you don't know what the one is, let me see, can I break that down? You know, they call me a lot of things, but today they call me a lot of good things. You know, in my process, and the blessing came in full, I really got some issues that I had to look at and move on. Now watch how quiet it get. I really had issues that I had to look at and accept and move on. Because I truly believe that the same man or woman will return to the active, the disease of addiction if they don't do the work. That's just what I believe, because a lot of people is leaving. But I feel so bad about me in the midst of not being able to accept this component that's presented as life on its terms. I have always been vulnerable. And what I'm saying is this here. I like a whole lot of material stuff because that's a gift in my eye. It's just, it's not as important as it used to be. So if I'm fashionable, that's who I attract. Fashionable women. But I don't know how to love. I really don't. But all you got to do is respond that you love me as much as I love you, and it's on. I really can't help myself when I'm involved. The brokenness of the relationship drives me further, and I'm going to put that out there, and then I'm going to move on. You know, this woman was the one. I need to keep telling myself the one. Simply behind, I learned how to accept women and respect women because I done accepted me and I respect me today. Real simple. Other words, I ain't the hoe I used to be. I ain't running around trying to pimp you out the drawers. I don't do that. There's a God conscious that lives within me today. So what it used to be about is no longer about. I can say proudly, I'm not the guy I was when I come. This relationship began to fail. Now listen carefully to this. I was so caught up that the woman say, you are a little too fast for me. And I love you enough. Listen to the message, but guess what I'm listening to? I hear what you're saying, but all I accept is that you love me enough. And all she was saying is that she loved me enough to move on with her process. And if you're missing it, Here is the denial cycle creeping in. Maybe it's something I said or done. But I know she ain't going nowhere. And then the conscious part of me is telling me that the woman done had enough and she's leaving. And it became to a point where I made an attempt to try to accept maybe the relationship that I keep talking about with the God of my understanding I really don't even have. So, in the midst of not doing anything for my insides, that disease kicked in to fulfill the void, and I end up running through the city of Washington, D.C., tricking with the suffering addict, because I was sitting amongst y'all sounding good but still suffering. No, I'm going to help him, Hendry, because some of those that I'm talking about in the midst of telling on me is sitting here today. I know what we'll do. It don't have nothing to do with the vulnerability. It has something to do with the inability to accept you just the way you are. I am no longer convinced in what you say. I'm convinced by what you do. He sit up here and talked about his actions and behaviors is not right. Mine wasn't either. Therefore, it puts you in a position. It's impossible to stay around here and constantly do wrong. I just believe that. I mean, I stopped. But the real deal was I tricked and tricked and tricked and lied and lied and lied, and I became to a point where fear kicked in, where I honestly believed that I was getting ready to use. That was the turning point. I got a sponsor, he sits here today, he's always been supportive. But there's a funny thing how he used to say all the time, what do you have to lose? Eventually, I simply fell to my knees. And it's in the first step. Ain't used nothing. I simply fell to my knees in a state of degradation all over again. You're talking about powerlessness. There's no other choice but to call on something that has the power to maintain a state of abstinence with this disease of addiction. And what ended up happening was the same fear that I kept closing the door on, I began to look at and take a chance because I heard I had nothing to lose. What I'm talking about is there's a sense of courage that will come as a result of a sense of willingness. And I got to add my water. I was telling my supporters that is funny, my supporters. See, it's a hell of a feeling to know that there's people sitting in here that truly and honestly has your best interest. Because on the other hand, there's some sitting in here that don't have it at all. So that's the program bringing about the balance. And I want to thank y'all, and y'all know who y'all. But the bottom line is this. I hear a lot of stuff in here. I used to be guilty of it. And let me say this here, when it move, I can't help myself also. The first step is so simple, that it say, Jerry, listen to what it say. Power is over your addiction. Life is unmanageable. That do not mean that I am unable to pay the bills. It said life is unmanageable. Now, if I'm here and ain't used, there must be a power that got me here. So if I begin to rely on what brings me in here when I don't want to come, I got old. The second step is simple. Come to believe. I'm going to tell you this. Just believe that it ain't you. And it's going to work just fine. But for you intellectuals, the third one, all you got to do is make a decision to try what this program has to offer. That's all. I used to run around, turn it over. This is the third step. I'm connected to God. I'm turning it over. Lord can forgive me. Drunk as shit. Still practicing the same behavior. Attitude ain't changed yet. But I'm talking. When all I got to do is make a decision. And what it implies is, Jerry, you done been here long enough now to know that you can begin to take some action and move on with the rest of the program. Do you know I come in here full of blame? Not just with women. My story involved men too. I come in here with homosexual tendencies. Until I heard a guy say, you can't justify homosexuality. And if you don't believe me, let's look at baseball. I don't care whether you're the shortstop, the pitcher, or the first baseman. Baseball is baseball. I'm talking about acceptance on a deeper level. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Henry, I love you, and when you come in the door, a certain joy came over. I'm going to say this. I done been here too many times. Last time I was here, I was blessed to do my favorite, Delusions. And every time I get up here, I would say, don't they know I'm speaking? The room should be packed. Well, I'm here today to tell you this is not what I come looking for, and it was packed when I got here. So that tells me, as long as I stay out the way, it's going to continue to work itself out. That's what I like about the program of Narcotics Anonymous. What was important, newcomer, if you're present, is they told me in the beginning, do not leave before the miracle happened. I come here willing as the dying can be and know that the way I used narcotics was over. I just needed to be around or connected to something that had somewhat a positive outlet. The rest is history. You know, today I kind of like know that I'm blessed. That's why I ask you to give yourself a hand of applause, because this is about life. I'm going to share a little more with you, and I'm going to leave it alone. Talking about being here long enough, watching people, and that was one of my attributes out there, because I lived such a life of being at risk at all times. I know that God ain't finished with me yet. I'm the guy that will look fear in the face and take risks and don't think about the result, because I'm moving in faith. I know that all things are possible, not some. All. That tells me I can do anything in here if I stay connected and become successful at doing so. But I want to get this off me, because somebody is lacking the hope. I tell my whole network, you can mess with me if you want. You can get the headache, or you can get the hope. The headache or the hope. Because what we have a tendency to do is not be open spiritually enough to recognize how God is blessing who he want to bless, and sit around here and just talk about people and can't even see how he's already blessing you. Because you want every damn thing you see, but you won't get up to do nothing to get nothing. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm Sam. I'm still at it. And we got a few minutes for anybody that want to come up to the mic and share. We got about 10 minutes. And I asked everybody to come up one at a time. Be mindful of anybody else that wants to share.
My name is Peter. And I'm...
Hi, Peter.
I'm an addict. And I'm coming from a Bethesda Mill, and you know, have 9 years in the program. And, you know, behavior. I was a drug addict since 9 years. And, you know, I did a whole lot of behaviors out there on the streets up to year 2000. You know, I was doing everything to get off. You know, today I'm learning behaviors were getting in my way, because I went from male or female, adult movies, and you know, that's what my life was about out there growing up in the 70s, in the 80s, up to 91 when I got clean. And when I came out of PIW in DC, my therapist said, you will never you will stop, you won't stop having your behaviors. And my therapist was right, because I didn't leave my behaviors. I kept on acting out. I thought living the way I was living was, I thought it was all fun. It wasn't. Because I had to think and know. Last year when I stopped watching the movies, I was at my old apartment around my new apartment, and my old apartment was insanity. I wasn't using drugs. I was calling prostitutes and getting porns every day and thought it was normal. And the last time I watched the movies was year 2000, when I celebrated 9 years last year. And, you know, I was sitting in that apartment after watching 4 movies, and then my higher power and the beast were saying, you can act out, call the escort service, and the beast and my higher power was moving all over to me and saying, you don't have to do that. You know, I'm learning it's about changes today. It's one of my role models in England. He's a role model to me, and he's about changes, and I'm about changes today. Because if I wasn't about being a person that wanted to change. You know, I used to grow, when I was growing up in the 70s, I was a lady punk rocker, dressed up in drag and being wild, totally wild. And my buddy knows about me because I lived in his Oxford house with him. And he knew I had to grow and to change. And today I'm learning how to change and to get better. You know, I want to, this year I'll be celebrating 10 years in this summer, and I don't want to go back and doing the way I was living before. You know, my role model is David Bowie. Hello, my friends. And, you know, I look up to him because he doesn't have to act wild today. He doesn't have to put a mask or a costume or look wild. He just be himself. That's what I'm learning how to do today. Be myself. This, not somebody else. I have to do somebody else. Do something this or that. I just be myself. I heard a friend of mine from 95. I was saying some wild stuff to her. And I hurt her feelings. And I want to get her friendship back. And it's painful to have to do that. I'm going to... It's in God's hands. And that's all to share today. Thank you.
We have somebody come read just for the day.